Welcome to Body Poetica, a podcast dedicated to creative inquiry, a realm where creative impulse meets contemplative exploration, crafting a narrative where the body, in its poetic essence, becomes our guide and oracle. I'm your host, Eileen, an artist, educator, and curious contemplative, traveling the world, making art, and guiding people toward creative wisdom. I'm passionate about leading you to deepen your creative connection with ease, where self-inquiry can guide you to filter the noise and break free from conditioning, to uplevel your art through inner transformation and empower you to live with more purpose and peace. Join me as I explore how the body perceived from within opens us to imaginal spaces and provides a home for our creative reverie, and how tending to our inner states reveals fertile ground to seed a life. Today marks my first official episode as I begin a mini-series, The Alchemy of Fear, exploring four core fear patterns for creative growth. In this episode, I delve into how fear number one, irrational fear about safety and security, profoundly impacts creative expression and the artistic identity. Focusing on the nuanced interplay between fear, creativity, and personal growth, I uncover how these fears can limit artistic exploration, suppress creativity, influence thematic choices, all while affecting the emotional impact and authenticity of your artistic work. Through a series of examples, I aim to shed light on strategies for harnessing these fears to catalyze artistic innovation and deepen emotional resonance within one's work. If you resonate with this work in any way, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you're able, consider supporting content creation and upcoming classes by making a donation directly through my website, linked in the show notes. As I grow, I'll have more channels and ways to support creative contemplation and expression. Make a donation, jump on the mailing list, and join the course waitlists at bodypoetica.com. As an artist who's fascinated with the realm of emotions and how they come to influence our lives, our work, and how our work is perceived in the world, I started doing a deep dive into the most prevalent emotions that affect creatives and their art making, their philosophies of living, and how we see and are seen in the world. Welcome to The Alchemy of Fear, a mini-series breaking down the detailed roots of fear in creative practice. I am a deep diver by nature. I originally thought this episode would be a one-off to jumpstart the introduction to the accompanying course I'm offering, but I find that it needs much more attention. How, by categorizing it, can help artists be discerning about how it specifically resonates in their lives and their making. As emotions are so amorphous, ever-shifting, super subjective, it's really challenging to know how and what to do when you feel a certain way. If you're a sensitive being, as so many creatives are, sensitive to emotions, to energies, it's hard to navigate solutions without completely detaching or falling deep into our own thoughts and feelings, like a wormhole we can't get out of, and returning behaviors that keep on cycling. So, this is my work to help you get specific, get vulnerable, and really start to target the fear limitations that are specifically affecting you and resonating throughout your artwork. Fear is such a complex and diverse emotion, and it's impacting every aspect of the creative process. From the dread of inadequacy undermining our confidence to the anxiety of exposure that accompanies the display of our work, fear sometimes can permeate our creative life and process. Fear affects everyone, artists of all backgrounds, all mediums, all ways of expressing throughout multiple times in our career, our schooling, our education. Sometimes fear can really stifle what should really be our sanctuary. So I really wanted to understand fear's role in the creative process and to tell artists that this is key. To understand where your fear is actually rooted and coming from can help you anticipate ways to navigate. I think also sometimes the difficulty comes when we feel like we have to overcome it, when fear is some sort of obstacle, but realizing that fear is shifting, as are we, and we have to learn how to coexist with fear and how to turn its energy into creative fuel so that we can maximize its potential and use it as something specific and personal to us as artists, and then translating that to an audience. What better way to take a personal emotion that is universal in its reach and really be specific with how you can target it in material form and concept? So this series will deal with four core fears: insecurity, emotional wounds, judgment, and rejection. These are all impeding our personal growth and creative expression. So understanding and transforming these fears can really unlock your creative potential. By dissecting these fears' manifestations, we can gain insights into navigating your inner landscapes and embracing creativity with new material. At the heart of our shared human experience is the fear about the sense of safety. This is a primal fear. It's often not even realized, and when it's irrational, it can really cast a long shadow over our lives. This fear can really paralyze us. It's hindering our ability to take risks, to embrace new opportunities. It's always the voice, the whisper, be careful, be cautious, watch out, what if? And it's erecting this invisible barrier that confines us to perceived safety of what is known, what is familiar. And when we have an irrational fear of security and safety, it often manifests in creatives through a real wide spectrum of self-limiting behaviors. We have perfectionism issues. We have procrastination. We have self-sabotage. We have negative self-talk. We compare ourselves to each other. We have creative burnout. And whether you have one, two, all at sometimes or all times, all of these are exhausting your spirit. They are stifling the flow of your innovation, and you're freezing your creative process in its tracks. It's delaying your act of creation, and you're really undermining your personal progress and eroding your self-confidence. This really diminishes your unique value, especially when you are comparing yourself unfavorably against other people and against their progress. This is what ultimately leads to creative blocks and burnout. So by probing this irrational fear with curiosity, we're going to gently open a conversation with what is blocking us. And this allows you to step into a more secure, a more safe, a more confident place. It's very daunting to face your fears directly. I know this. And doing so can really illuminate the pathways to what everyone wants, a more secure and confident existence, art or no art. And this idea of fear being a living being, if we respect fear, this enables us to start reshaping the way we're perceiving and responding to our fears. And this is what will lead you to a more heightened sense of empowerment and mastery over your emotional landscape. So when fear is the emotion that's really taking over, taking control, we can channel this into this kind of artwork that is intuitive, more resonant, more personal, and really can be a force for transformation. I really want to be practical in the way that we talk about our fears and the way that we can catalyze this in your art practice. That's what's going to be the most beneficial for you to building a really safe and secure ground so that you can move forward with progress and goals that are specific to you. I'm being 100% clear. I'm not saying that all fears are irrational, nor healthy to use or expose as inspiration or creative material. If you are working with current, acute, or chronic fear that is endangering your physical or emotional body and is a threat to your safety, this is something really to consider carefully and respectfully with a medical or mental health professional. Not all things have to be probed at all times. It is your decision when, where, and how to work with your fears responsibly through your creative practice. So take it slow, be kind to yourself, and let's get into it. Let's talk really briefly about the universal function of fear so that we can qualify. Fear is important. It isn't just this thing that's looming over us. It's a terrible thing that's taking over our lives. Fear is a beautiful and intelligent thing by design. It's when fear turns into a destructive emotion that we need to really take a step and look and see how it's actually affecting us and our creative output so that we can operate on a level without suffering and without spiraling. So we know that the primary function of fear is to protect us, protect you from impending harm. Fear is activating our instinctual responses, our fight, our flight, our freeze, and it's based on your past learnings. So physically, this immediate reaction to danger is sharpening your focus, and it can be life-saving, such as jumping out of the way of an oncoming car. And emotionally, we have these feelings of anxiety and dread and panic to ensure that the negative experiences that caused them remain etched in our memory so that we can avoid any future threats. We see that fear plays a social role. It signals danger. It promotes collective action. It enhances group survival. We empathize with the fears of others. We develop social bonds. It's a cooperative behavior and effective in conflict resolution. So we see this, we know this, that fear is functional, fear is important. But what happens when we start developing irrational fears? Despite its evolutionary importance, fear can evolve into irrational forms, and these are deeply rooted in our primal instincts. Irrational fears trigger anxiety even in non-threatening situations. So when we're dealing with irrational fears surrounding our sense of safety and security, these are partly stemming from evolutionary past where ancestors faced tangible danger. Our instincts were primed for survival in hypervigilance. And today, that ancient programming is still influencing us. It's causing emotional reactions disproportionate to the risks. So specifically related to security and safety, this is exacerbated by the overload of information and cognitive bias that's prevalent today. We have constant exposure 24/7 to the news, and it's really amplifying our sense of insecurity. And these cognitive biases, they're skewing our perception as well and magnifying threats that are beyond statistical reality. Also coming into play here with security and safety is how social and cultural factors are shaping our perceptions. And who and what we're surrounded by is also influencing our fears and sometimes also exacerbating them beyond rationale, especially in societies or cultures that are valuing conformity. When we are creatives or artists or our practice wants to deviate from those norms, this can really induce a heightened anxiety, and it reinforces the fear of standing out, where we really want to be part of a group to connect and build those bonds of intimacy and security. So what does all of this mean? How do these rooted fears about security and safety, how are they manifesting for creatives and artists in our art practice, in our lives, in ourselves, in our relationships? The sway of irrational fears concerning safety and security profoundly influences us. It can limit your expression in so many ways, from inhibiting the initiation of new projects to stifling emotional resonance in your work. All of these fears permeate every facet of artistic process and really dictate the scope and depth of your exploration. So let's dive into five distinct manifestations of these fears, each with its own unique impact on our creative journey. First, we have creative output limitation, and at the heart of this manifestation lies a paralyzing fear of failure. It's a reluctance to take any new artistic venture or see existing projects through completion. Artists find themselves really ensnared by apprehension. Their ability to translate ideas into tangible creations is really restricted, and the fear of the end result is hindering you from producing work at the desired pace or scale, or really reach any goal that you have because of these fear-based limitations. And similarly, in manifestation 2, this is a stagnation of process where the creativity cycle is really stagnating or blocked, and fear is infiltrating the creative process itself. It's impeding your ability to experiment, explore, and innovate. You might feel really constrained by a pressure to adhere to familiar techniques or materials, and you really have a stifled willingness to take creative risks. And this may or may not be at your level of consciousness. You might not know that you're not taking risks. In manifestation 3, we have restricted theme selection. So rooted safety fears are starting to dictate the themes that you're exploring. You're steering away from challenging or controversial subjects. Instead, you're gravitating towards safe, familiar territory, and you're sacrificing any opportunity to engage with a more nuanced or thought-provoking topic. In manifestation 4, we have diminished emotional impact, and this is when the emotional resonance of your artwork is compromised, as fear is preventing you from tapping into your raw, vulnerable emotions, and this reluctance to delve into the depths of human experience or the fullness of your process. It sometimes leads to a superficial portrayal, and it fails to evoke a genuine emotional response from your viewer. So I'm a firm believer that through the byproduct of making, we should feel the resonance of the making into the product itself, into the object, into the action, whatever the creative process product might be. If the emotional resonance isn't there, we can feel that. It's going to feel slightly dull. It might feel blah. It might feel boring. It might feel bland, where we don't have any visceral response to the artwork. This is something really important, I think, as artists, when we develop our work, we want to have that emotional impact. It doesn't have to be an over-the-top emotion, but we need something there that an audience can respond to. And manifestation number 5, it's going to limit your creative authenticity. And when fear is stifling your true voice and it's compelling you to censor your thoughts, your emotions in your work, this inhibition of self-expression, it's going to result in artwork that lacks depth, and it's devoid of really any rawness, any vulnerability that's necessary to really connect with viewers on a profound level, on a personal level, and always on a universal level as well. So all of these fear manifestations, whether it's output, process, emotional connection, restrictions on theme, or identity and authenticity, they're all layered and they're all nuanced, and we may start to see a little bit of overlap, but I think it's really helpful to start categorizing so that you can start becoming aware of some of these rooted fear issues so that we can take steps to clear it, and that way it's moving you towards more authenticity and more freedom in your art making. So I have some imaginary character profiles to help illustrate these manifestations. And just a note, if one or more of these sounds like or happens to be too close to home, it's relevant to you and your practice in a way that doesn't feel good, in no way am I critiquing or calling into question your motives or intent. Please know they're imaginary. They're not based on any real human I know, and therefore illustrative purposes only. So let's start with manifestation 1. When you're affected by primal root safety fears, it's really going to limit that creative output. So let's say as a sculptor, you're feeling confined, you're struggling for some kind of artistic freedom, and your work is stifled by the weight of irrational safety fears that are deeply rooted in cognitive bias. And you've been conditioned, you're raised in an environment that prioritizes stability and predictability. So you learn to view creative experimentation as a risky endeavor. It was fraught with potential pitfalls. It wasn't safe. And this upbringing instilled in you a profound fear of deviating from any established norm or tradition. And this really constrained your artistic exploration. So this fear conditioning, it's manifesting in your sculptures as you're gravitating towards familiar materials. Let's say you're always choosing clay, you're always choosing stone, you're drawn to their reliability, their durability. And while these mediums offer a sense of comfort and security, the materials also serve as a tangible manifestation of the reluctance to embrace any risk-taking in your art making. Your sculptures start to embody really conventional themes and subjects, and they reflect a hesitancy to challenge the status quo or venture into uncharted territory. Despite harboring a curiosity for unconventional techniques and abstract concepts, you find yourself held back by an overwhelming fear of failure and uncertainty. This fear is acting as a barrier to creative innovation. It's inhibiting your ability to fully express your artistic vision. So as a result, your sculptures remain confined within the boundaries of tradition. They're lacking the boldness and experimentation needed to truly captivate and inspire. Biases such as availability and loss aversion might also be contributing to your reluctance to experiment and innovate in your practice. And availability bias, it's referring to the tendency to rely on information that's readily available to you when you make decisions or judgments, rather than considering all of the factors. So if you've had previous success with a particular style in your sculptures, you may be more inclined to stick with it, even if there's other potentially more innovative or effective approaches available. Loss aversion is the tendency to prefer avoiding losses over acquiring equivalent gains. So in this context, it could manifest as a fear of trying new things because of the perceived risk of failure or rejection. You may be reluctant to experiment and innovate if you believe that doing so could lead to negative outcomes such as wasting time or receiving criticism. And these biases, along with fear conditioning, are really influencing your perception of risk and reward. It's leading you to prioritize safety and familiarity over exploration and creative process. If we can recognize and challenge these biases, you can free yourself from constraints that it's imposing on your creative expression. That way, you'll be able to take steps to explore new ideas, take risks, and ultimately expand the possibility of your practice. In manifestation 2, when you're affected by primal root safety fears, it's going to limit your creative process. So let's say you're a graphic designer and you're navigating this digital deluge of information. You're really trying to overcome information overload. And your background as a graphic designer, you're navigating this digital landscape. You find yourself ensnared really in this relentless torrent of information. It's inundating your creative process. And your fear conditioning, you've grown up in an era, it's defined by technological advancements and digital innovation. You've become accustomed to constant connectivity and access to vast amounts of information. However, in this case, rather than serving as a wellspring of inspiration, this abundance of data is really becoming a double-edged sword. It's overwhelming your creative faculties. It's impeding your ability to initiate new projects. So it's manifesting in your process in that the fear of missing out on any pertinent design techniques or failing to meet industry standards is looming large. It's casting a shadow of doubt over your creative process. Despite spending hours, you're collecting references, you're conducting research, you find yourself paralyzed by the fear of making incorrect decisions or overlooking critical details. This analysis paralysis is preventing you from moving forward with confidence. It's trapping you in a cycle of indecision and inaction. So, in your quest to stay abreast of latest trends and innovations, you start to inadvertently sacrifice the creative freedom and spontaneity that's essential to the design process. This fear of falling behind or producing subpar work is stifling your ability to take risks, explore new ideas. It's leaving you really mired in a state of creative inertia. Your vision as a designer is now obscured by this deluge of data. It's making it difficult to discern meaningful insights and translate them into actionable design concepts. As a result, your creative output is limited and your potential for innovation remains really untapped. So breaking free from this cycle of stagnation, it's really going to require a concerted effort to filter out any extraneous noise and focus on the core elements that are driving your artistic vision. You might also have availability and loss aversion that are contributing to your reluctance to experiment and innovate. And these are influencing, again, your perception of risk and reward. It's further reinforcing your inclination towards safe and familiar design choices. So recognizing and challenging those biases is essential in overcoming the limitations they're imposing on your creative output. So when your overwhelming fear of missing out and making incorrect decisions is hampering your ability to initiate projects and explore innovative design solutions, we really need to start clearing out that root fear. In manifestation 3, when you're affected by primal root safety fears, it's going to limit your creative theme selection. So let's say, for example, we have a photographer who's taken on the stereotype of urban explorer. So let's say your background, your creative journey as an urban explorer photography, it really starts to become limited by this cultural conformity and stemming from an irrational safety fear that's deeply rooted in evolutionary instincts. So let's say your fear conditioning comes from the fact you are raised in a community where adherence to cultural norms was really paramount, and you internalized the belief that if you deviated from any established custom or norms, this could really lead to you being socially ostracized, and it instilled within you a sense of caution, a sense of restraint. So this is manifesting in your photography through you gravitating towards themes that are aligned with very familiar, very conventional, and you're navigating this urban landscape in search of abandoned buildings, forgotten spaces, hidden landscapes. And while these subjects offer a sense of security amidst the chaos of the city, they allow you to capture this overlooked beauty, decay, and neglect. Beneath the surface lies a fear of really straying from tradition and straying from the norms and exploring themes that are unconventional or controversial. And this fear is acting as a barrier to your creative exploration. It's limiting the scope of your vision and inhibiting your ability to really push the boundaries of your craft, to really push the boundaries of urban landscape photography in a way that's more personal, that's more unique, that's more layered and complex. And it really takes that stereotype to new levels by really being able to release the rooted fear and not tackle the landscape theme because it's secure and comforting, but to really tackle that theme in a way that's intentful and to use your fear and show that in your concept and show that in the scenes you're portraying with real deliberate intent. You may also have biases such as conformity bias and social desirability bias that are contributing to decisions on your theme selections. This is where you're aligning your beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors with those of a group or the broader society. So in the realm of your photography, this conformity bias might manifest as that reluctance to deviate from an established theme or style because it's popular, it's widely accepted, and it's trending within the photography community. So if certain types of landscapes or portraits are really well received, trending on social media, photographers might feel pressured to conform to these norms rather than explore something more unconventional or something that's more aligned with their core identity. Social desirability bias involves the tendency to present yourself in a favorable light according to those social norms or expectations, even if this means sacrificing authenticity. So in this photography, this bias might lead you to prioritize images that are aesthetically pleasing or culturally acceptable over those that are challenging any conventions or provoking any deeper thought or reflection. Again, you might be compelled to create work that's going to garner likes or praise on social media platforms rather than pursuing a unique artistic vision. So in essence, in this manifestation, your fear of straying from tradition and exploring controversial themes constrains your artistic vision. It's resulting in a limited scope of creative exploration and thematic diversity in the photography. In manifestation 4, when you're affected by primal root safety fears that are limiting your emotional impact, what does it look like for a painter who has cognitive bias and really feeling emotionally constrained? So let's say your background, you grew up in a small town, conformity was highly valued, and creativity often takes a backseat to practicality. So from a young age, your natural talent for painting was evident, but societal pressures encouraged you to pursue more, quote, practical career paths. So your fear conditioning is rooted in cognitive bias, and it's influenced by your upbringing and societal expectations. If you're growing up in an environment where traditional values were paramount, you may have developed a subconscious belief that adherence to established norms was necessary for success and acceptance. So now as a painter, this cognitive bias is manifesting in your tendency to gravitate towards really safe and familiar themes and techniques in your artwork. You often find yourself drawn to very traditional subjects, and you fear that experimentation with more abstract or unconventional styles may lead to criticism or rejection. In terms of your artistic expression, while your technical skill is undeniable, your fear of deviating from the norm stifles your artistic expression and emotional impact. Your paintings may be technically proficient, but they might lack the depth and resonance that could be achieved through greater creative exploration. And to overcome this cognitive bias, you must confront these ingrained beliefs about success to embrace the freedom to take creative risks that are calling you. By challenging yourself to explore new themes, new styles, new techniques, you can unlock your full artistic potential and create work that truly resonates with you, with your viewers, on a profound level. Instead of operating from this confirmation bias where you're perhaps seeking out information and feedback that's confirming your existing belief about what constitutes successful artwork, you may overlook opportunities to explore new styles, new themes that are challenging your preconceived notions. So overall, this cognitive bias has shaped your perception of what constitutes, quote, good art and influences your decision-making process. And this is leading to a limited range of artistic expression and emotional impact in your work to really heighten and elevate the concepts that are essential to your core identity as a painter. In Manifestation 5, when you're affected by primal root safety fears, it's really going to limit your creative authenticity. So let's say you're an avant-garde performance artist and you're really struggling with creative expression and identity, and you're really feeling your authenticity is really being stifled. So your background as a performance artist, it's really entangled with your primal fears that are rooted in safety and security, particularly concerning societal norms and expectations. So your fear conditioning is that you are raised in an environment where safety and caution were stressed at all costs. And you internalized a deep-seated fear of experimentation with materials or techniques that were perceived as hazardous. And your upbringing instilled within you a subconscious reluctance to engage with potentially dangerous elements in your art making, driven by a primal need for protection. So in your performances, you're avoiding themes or actions that involve the use of materials or techniques that are perceived as risky or dangerous. You find yourself censoring your artistic impulses, and you start to opt for safe and more predictable expressions of artistry. And this fear-driven desire for safety, for security, you find it's really stifling your creative authenticity. It's resulting in performances that feel subdued. They lack the raw energy of true avant-garde expression, that really, that's who you are in your core being. So despite your desire to challenge convention and break new ground, your fear of experimenting with these hazardous materials or potentially hazardous materials is inhibiting your ability to fully engage with your creative vision. So your performances are lacking the depth and impact that comes with embracing the risk and pushing the boundaries of experimentation. To transcend these biases, you must start to confront your fear of experimentation with materials and really embrace the authenticity of your personal artistic voice. Do the homework, do the research, get the training if you don't have the skills that are needed to really express yourself fully to your highest potential. So dare to push those boundaries of safety, but always be well-informed and well-equipped. Explore those new materials and techniques under a trusted advisor or mentor. You can really unlock the full potential of your performance art and create works that really provoke thought and inspire change. So when we've fully recognized these fear-based conditions and cognitive biases that we have, we can start to, number one, clear those rooted fears. Number two, take small steps towards embracing a fuller potential, a fuller authoritative stance on your artistic authenticity. And three, we can really make art about it. So once you're aware of your fear-based conditioning, it's really about transforming that fear and using that as intentful material form and concept so that you can really heighten and elevate the message that's coming across and how it's going to resonate to an audience and through your artwork. So rather than succumbing to these challenges of fear, we need to find innovative paths to channel our fears into our creative process. We need to leverage what we know. And what do we know? We know the elements, we know the principles. We need to use those and transform fear into our material. And the examples I'll give, they not only demonstrate resilience, but they're offering a deeper contextual understanding of how fear can refine and define your artistic expression through the formal artistic elements and principles. We have line, we have color, we have texture, we have composition, we have balance, we have contrast, we have proportion, we have scale, we have all of these. Take all of those and make them yours. How can I transform fear into this language? So let's give some examples of how artists can address these fears and biases in their work intentfully and deliberately. We'll take some of those character artists from our previous discussion, and we'll see how they can consciously integrate their specific fear patterning into their material process and concept. And they're also going to consider the elements and principles of art. So let's say you're that sculptor in the first manifestation, and you're very risk averse, and you have a very traditional concept of materiality in sculpture. You're always using stone and clay. And you're still choosing to work primarily with stone, a material that's known for its stability, its permanence. However, you deliberately select stones that have inherent flaws or irregularities. And this is symbolizing the inherent risks and uncertainties of creative process. So these imperfections are becoming an integral part of your sculpture. It's challenging the traditional notion of flawlessness, and it's inviting viewers to confront their own biases towards perfection and predictability. So in your creative process, you deliberately start embracing unpredictability, risk-taking, and impermanence. You experiment with unconventional techniques. Let's say you're carving directly into the stone without any sketches or plans, and you're allowing the sculpture to evolve organically with each stroke of your chisel. And this approach is challenging your fear of failure and uncertainty. It's really encouraging you to embrace spontaneity and more intuition in your artistic process. And the concept behind your sculptures is starting to revolve around this theme of risk or precariousness, and your towers are about to topple over. So each sculpture depicts these towering structures, and they're precariously balanced. Let's say the foundations are even unstable. And this is really symbolizing your internal struggle with fear and the resistance to creative risk-taking. So as your viewers are interacting with your work, they're invited also to contemplate this delicate balance between stability, instability, safety, and risk, and the elements and principles, such a core factor of how our message becomes translated. The elements and principles you'll use, you could use line, form, texture. So let's start with line and form. Your sculptures, maybe they feature bold, dynamic lines and forms, and they really echo this tension again between stability and instability. You have sharp angles, you have jagged edges. These also convey that sense of danger, while these solid, grounded forms are symbolizing your desire for security and predictability. Maybe they start to topple at the top, right? So you kind of, you know, you navigate within this idea. And with texture, you start to use this rough, weathered texture of stone, and it's contrasting with some smooth, polished surfaces. And giving some contrast is really reflecting this internal conflict, this push and pull between embracing imperfection and seeking perfection. Your sculptures are playing with balance and proportion, and they're really defying traditional notions of harmony or symmetry. If it's a leaning tower or an asymmetrical composition, this is also challenging viewers. It's a more dynamic ask of the viewers to question their notions of stability. And perhaps you leave some areas of the stone in its natural state. Maybe you add some subtle hints of color through surface treatments. Hints of color, this can also serve as visual cues. This is really guiding the viewer through and around the sculpture, around the form. And by consciously integrating your specific fear patterning into your material process and concept, and you consider this within the elements and principles, your sculptures not only challenge the societal norms and expectations, but they're really serving as a powerful reflection of their internal struggles, their journey, and everyone can resonate with this. This is now a personal struggle that has been transformed into a universal theme. And for our second example, let's go back to that urban photographer, the urban landscape photographer. And how would we address your specific fears and biases that are related to safety concerns and conformity? So let's have you consciously integrate your aspects into your photographs through your theme, your composition, so that you can start making more conscious decisions about your themes. And let's say you choose to explore themes that are still related to urban decay and neglect, but we try to put a twist in. So instead of focusing solely on abandoned buildings and forgotten spaces, you start to deliberately seek out locations with an element of risk or danger. Obviously, not putting yourself in any harm or something that's going to really cause risk to yourself, but you could look for some slight element of dilapidation or possibly collapse or an old industrial site, something that's really giving off the vibe of hazard. It could be an urban environment that's undergoing some sort of rapid transformation that would actually mimic your own transformation. So in your composition, you could really juxtapose these elements of decay and danger with moments of beauty and resilience to capture this interplay between this crumbling infrastructure and nature reclaiming its territory. And you're really highlighting this fragility, this balance between destruction and regeneration in urban environments. Each photograph could begin to tell a story of urban exploration, human experience, neglected spaces, and you start to challenge the perceptions of safety and security. You're inviting yourself and the viewers to confront their own fears and biases surrounding this societal conformity. So in your visual style, you start to experiment with unconventional techniques, maybe post-processing, and you start to convey really a visceral experience of what it's like to explore these hazardous environments. So we want to have the theme selection be evident. We want emotional impact, and maybe you use long exposure. You're capturing this movement of shadow, of light, or you start to employ some high contrast or some black and white processing that's really emphasizing this stark beauty of decay. And in this way, you begin to start subverting this traditional notion of beauty and safety. You are encouraging viewers, you're encouraging yourself to question those biases about norms and expectations. You start to confront your own fears and you're embracing new risks in your creative expression, in your creative process. So the impact here, by consciously integrating your specific fears, you are starting to create a body of work. It not only documents this urban landscape that's your interest, but it also serves as a reflection of your own internal struggle and creative journey. These photographs begin to invite viewers to really reconsider their preconceptions of safety, of conformity, and you're ultimately inspiring them to embrace the unknown and explore new horizons, new territories, new risks in their own lives. So I hope those two examples can really give you some understanding about how to work with fear strategically, with the elements, with the principles, to really heighten your concept. I'm really about having people access their specific type of creativity with more ease, with more joy, with more concept, and really with more heightened complexity. As we conclude this first episode of The Alchemy of Fear, Fears of Safety and Security, I think it's really clear that these irrational fears are presenting substantial challenges to the creative process. So through objective exploration, through curiosity, through gentle probing, we really can gain insights into its origins in our lives. We can develop strategies to navigate and to work with it, to coexist with fear. It's not an obstacle. It's not something to overcome. It's really essential steps for artists to cultivate a liberated and authentic engagement with pursuits and process. Next episode, we'll continue with the series in the second core fear, fear of unhealed emotional wounds, where we're really dealing with shadows of the past, we have some unhealed emotional baggage, and how this also is manifesting in our work and our process, and some strategies for moving through some of those unhealed emotional wounds. So thanks for joining me, and if any or all of this is interesting, please jump over to my website and jump on the mailing list for my upcoming class, Fear to Flow, where we're really breaking down all of the fear-based conditioning in our making that are the most common to our practice. So don't be scared, just dive in, make some art about it. Until next time. So thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my creatives, my empaths, my deep listeners, my thinkers, my curious beings, and everyone that wants to explore the contemplative realm of creativity. Thanks for listening. My name is Eileen. Make sure to reach out below with a comment, say hello, like, share, follow, and visit me on my website, bodypoetica.com. I'm really looking forward to growing this creative contemplative space together and how we can build a collaborative future of creative expression and deep inner spaces within. Thanks so much for listening. Stay centered, stay creative, stay contemplative. If you are a creative that is ready to uplevel your practice, please consider jumping on the waitlist for my upcoming class, Fear to Flow. For artists that are ready to elevate their craft and connections, pursue new opportunities or education, or simply refresh their practice, establishing a grounded, clear foundation for a sustainable and visionary art practice is crucial. For artists ready for any next level, it's crucial to clear the fear. Fear to Flow was designed to address the challenges, barriers, and pervasive conditioning that artists encounter on the creative journey. This class takes a deep dive into clearing obstacles that disrupt our creative flow, preparing artists to develop and maintain practices of bold, resilient, unique self-expression with confidence, inspiration, and direction. Fear to Flow offers a structured path of self-discovery to release those toxic patterns and find artistic freedom. We look at patterns such as perfectionism, procrastination, self-sabotage, negativity, comparison, and burnout. These roots of fear must clear to claim authenticity, confidence, and freedom in your life. No matter what your experience, your intention, and your practice is, consider it priming the ground for good to seed. We'll look at how fear disrupts our well-being on a human level, and then as creatives, how leaning into fear can actually realign our perspective and open new doors for art making. You can reshape your creative landscape and access your raw potential for all the creative possibility you desire. Full details are online at bodypoetica.com.